o'clock. Thank you for tuning in this Thursday morning. Kind of a cool Thursday morning. Actually, it was cold. Right now, it's not so cold as it was. It's about 44 degrees, but still, that's not why you came to Florida, but it's going to warm up, I promise you. On the phone, if you are in, you know what? It doesn't matter what you do in life. There is somebody selling something, and the money that you earn comes from somebody who sold something somewhere. Even if you work in the public sector, taxpayer money always comes from the private sector where things are sold or services are sold. So we're going to find out a little bit about selling. Janie Smith is on the phone with us. She's the president of Smart Advantage, which is an international consultant for CEOs and high executives from mid-sized companies to Fortune 500 companies. She's a keynote speaker. And her book is called Creating Competitive Advantage. Give customers a reason to choose you over your competitors. We're listening with all ears, right, Robin?
Oh, we are.
We got our ears. Oh,
I can't wait.
Yeah, I know.
I'm looking forward to it.
A topic we need to hear about. Janie Smith, good morning, ma'am. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Yes, you're right. It is too cold for Florida.
And where are you? Where are you calling from?
Fort Lauderdale, and it's even chilly down here.
Is it really? Oh my goodness! I thought I could go south and get warmed up a little bit.
Now it'll warm up, like you said.
So we can use that as a starting point. I think in Florida's heyday, once upon a time, before there was a thing called Disney World and Universal Studios, it was the climate that we advertised so that we would get tourists to come down here and spend their money.
Yes, it was, and now people come for all kinds of reasons. No income tax is one of them.
Yeah, right. That's true too. But I mean, is that what we're talking about when you say creating a competitive advantage? Could we take advantage of our naturally normally warmer climate and kind of dangle it in front of the rest of the nation, especially during the winter?
Well, I mean, that's a given. Everybody knows that Florida does that. One of the things that's important for the state to do, and has been in the past couple of decades, of course, is to attract businesses, to attract jobs, so that those people who move here for climate have something to do when they get here. It's not enough to come here for good weather if you can't get a job, right?
That's a really good point, yeah. Okay, so bring it down to the level that we can understand for our businesses. How do we create a competitive... One other thing that caught my eye and my attention was the fact that you say a lot of us think we know what our advantage is, but we don't have a clue.
Yeah, that's endemic. I mean, I really call this a lost discipline in businesses. I talk to thousands of CEOs and business executives each year, and I will ask them, what do you think your number one competitive advantage is? And I get what I call glib and cliched answers. It's not enough in today's world to say, we have good customer service, we deliver quality, we have good people. So what? Your competitors say that too. That does not convince me that I should buy from you, unless I experience it and you can prove it to me. You know, there's two ways to look at this. One is business-to-business selling, and one is business-to-consumer. You know, what is the message that's beyond something glib? And why should I buy from you and not your competition? Very few businesses answer that well.
So how do you figure that out? Do you do a survey, or do you, is it a trial and error thing? How do you do it?
Yes, we do what is known as double-blind market research. So what that is we go back, let's say a company is selling, a manufacturer is selling plumbing supplies to retailers. Well, he can get those plumbing supplies anywhere. So why should he buy from them? So the double-blind research says we go out and we ask all of these retailers who might sell those goods, what is the single most important thing you look for when you buy that product? More often than not, it's not the actual product itself, because that's a commodity. It can be bought elsewhere. But it's how a company delivers, not what. So do you deliver on time? Are the orders accurate? Are they in full? Do I have a phone number to call if something goes wrong? How quickly do you fix that something? And so we want to find out, what are the top three or four things that matter most in a buying decision? And it's uncanny how many businesses get it wrong. We'll go back to the company. We go back with the findings and say, look, we tested 20 things. What do you think are the top three things that your customers value? 90% of companies get it wrong.
Really? Now, if I was going to guess kind of a blanket statement, because I'm guessing each company is different, I'm guessing price may not be at the top. If I was trying to figure out what I was going to buy, if I was a buyer for a company, let's say, and I had a budget, so the budget is always going to be the same, I would probably look for convenience or something that would make it easy on me, easy for me.
Yes, that's exactly right. Too many companies cave in on price, excuse me, because they think it's price. They think it's price because they haven't really asked what else matters, nor have they gotten really good at that thing. So sure, every one of us will pay more for a product if we know we're getting what we want, if we know we're going to get the problem solved, if we know it is in fact the best, but how do you prove it's the best? And so we really, really do need to be able to communicate that thing that sets us apart. And you know, it can be something as simple as, and we've seen this, a B2C pest control company was did the double-blind research only to learn that their customers wanted to have easy-to-understand and on-time invoices, because the guy shows up at my house, I don't know if I'm getting billed for last month or this month or next month, and so I don't know if I'm if it's being fair. So something as simple as that, this company had no clue that that really mattered. And once we start focusing on that internally, let's make sure we get that right. Let's make sure our customers know we get it right. It makes a dramatic difference.
One of the most interesting statements that you have in your book, you write, dazzle them with details. And then you have an entire vocabulary section about what to say instead of, that everybody else is using, like customer service. You don't even use that word.
That's right, Robin. I'm so glad you found those pages, because that's my favorite. Instead of saying we have good customer service, you need to use your metrics to prove that you do. So it might be, we handle all calls within 1 hour. We have a technician on site within 2 hours, 24 hours, whatever is required. We have to measure it. And so what we tell our clients, your responses need to be not cliched, but objective, quantifiable, stated in the past tense. What I mean by that is, you don't say we will deliver within 24 hours. That's a promise. You say 99% of the time in the last 3 years we have delivered on time. And so past performance in business is the best indicator of future performance. And yet most businesses are real busy making promises about what they will do, not proving what they have been capable of.
And how are they demonstrating that to people who are not customers yet? Are they using videos or words on paper? How do they do that?
Yeah, so that you raise again another good point. My second book is called Relevant Selling, and what we learned in studying over 200 market research studies, double-blind studies, is that prospects buy for different reasons than customers. About 75% of the time you need a different message, but usually companies are using the same message. So a prospect needs to build confidence and have a risk reduced that I'm making the right decision. So you need some of those past tense metrics to prove it. And we say it's not just enough to throw a number out. You know, our clients are required to be able to demonstrate proof. They have to come up with actual analytics. We can put it in a graph. We can update it weekly, monthly, whatever is required. We have seen revenues as much as double in a year when companies do this, because they now, you know, people say, well, people say you can trust us. Well, now you can prove that they can trust you.
Yeah, yeah. What you're saying rings really true, Janie. We need to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll find out if the book itself will help us do what a professional like Janie would be able to do for us. Some of us who may not be able to afford somebody's services like Janie. But we'll be right back after the break. Janie Smith is our guest. The book is called Creating Competitive Advantage: Give Customers a Reason to Choose You Over Your Competitors. I love the topic, and if you're in business in any form, I'm telling you, we all earn a living because somebody sold something somewhere, even if it's not directly to you. We'll take that break right now and be right back. This is The Source, WOCA. Is the area's leader. Her book is called Creating Competitive Advantage, and she's the president of Smart Advantage. Jamie, tell me where you are again. I can't remember if you said where you are.
Fort Lauderdale,
that's right. Where it's cool, chilly, right?
Right.
are Okay, so what is Smart Advantage? Tell me what your business is.
Well, we're an international consulting firm. We help businesses of all sizes, from the smallest to the Fortune 100 companies, help them to identify competitive advantages they didn't know they had, and to help them articulate it in a consistent manner. You know, we go into a company and we ask 20 employees, what's your number one competitive advantage? And we get 20 different answers, so that doesn't bode well.
Give us an example of a company, if you could. I don't mean to throw you a curve, but maybe if I hear an example, it'll gel better for me.
Sure. So there's a steel company up in the Northeast. They do prefab steel. This one comes to mind. Gosh, I could tell you stories all day. They thought that their customers bought from them because they had more inventory than anybody else. So when we went back with the double blind research and learned that their customers and prospects valued more than anything accuracy and timeliness of documentation, they had no clue. Not one person on their team guess that was even in the top five. And so, you know, when you're way off base like that, they were getting ready to lay people off in the documentation department, and that's critical it was the number one thing most valued to customers. And we find that kind of thing all the time. Not only don't they know what the top three things are, but they rate it as the dead last or something like that.
So what do they do? They take the information that you give them and incorporated into their sales pitches? How did they use the information once they get it?
Oh, absolutely. In that case, they were able to shore up the documentation department, make sure they had no errors, and then in having no errors, they were able to say they had less than 0.5% error rate in their documentation, which really helped the salespeople.
Oh, really? Isn't that fascinating? That you would think, it's hard to imagine, wow, it would be interesting to see what you would come up with. Have you ever worked with anybody in the media? This is radio. It doesn't have to be a radio station, but somebody who you were able to find out what the competitive advantage was for them?
Yeah, mostly print media. We've done a little bit of work in that area. Just to give you another one, this might fit a little bit to give you an idea. We had a tour operator, a fabulous high-end tour operator, Adventure Tours, and they were bragging about their Travel and Leisure and National Geographic awards, and the travel agents that the tour operator sold through didn't care about their awards, neither did the traveler, you know? And so a lot of companies do that. They're waving flags like our awards or our client list.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody cares.
So what did they care? What do they care about in that business, in that industry, or with that profession?
Sure. Well, what they wanted to know was that the destination specialist had been on the road less traveled. They weren't just sending me to some African safari outback where they'd never been themselves, but they read about it in a book.
Okay, so you know what it sounds like to me, Jay? It sounds like, okay, they're waving their awards, hoping that gets attention. What they should have done instead is explain why they got the award.
Yes, that's correct. That's exactly right. And again, it's all about building confidence and removing risk. You know, if I'm traveling in an adventure trip, I want to know you really know where you're sending me. And so they were able to do that. And again, had a big spike in business once they started quantifying the fact that their destination specialists had been to over, 300 destinations in the last couple of years. It was pretty impressive.
Oh, wow. And it sounds to me like if you were to use that information or try to apply it to yourself, you would figure out that a lot of what attracts a customer is customer service, but you don't say that.
No, customer service is cliched. If you Google customer service, or customer centric, it comes up about 9 million times.
Maybe I misunderstood. It sounds like, okay, for example, if I'm taking people on wonderful excursions that are not cliche, then I don't want to use a cliche statement like customer service to tell people that I customize their trip, which is, in a sense, a customer service.
Yes, but they're very specific. This company, it's called Big Five. They're fabulous. They have what's called white glove service. You have contact with and somebody handling every and every one of your needs. If you need a dentist in Argentina, they'll get you in one overnight. If you have a problem with a loved one back in the States, they'll handle it. I mean, that's customer service, and they're very specific about how they talk about that.
Very interesting. What about something edible? What do you, like a cookie company or a restaurant, how do they have an advantage over somebody else?
You know, one comes to mind that's in my book. I think it was Cape Cod. This was quite a few years ago. Potato chips, I think they still do it. They talk about all their natural ingredients and how they don't use anything. You know, now everybody's doing that, but at the time, they were the first ones talking about their ingredients and how they got there. I've been to a restaurant where they said absolutely nothing in this restaurant comes from a can. It's 100% fresh. That's the kind of thing. Okay. That's the kind of thing in that environment you want to be able to spell out for your customers.
All right, it's a little bit clearer in my mind now. The book probably has a lot more in it than we'll ever be able to get into this interview. I want to let the listeners know that the phone lines are open if you want to call and ask Janie a question. This is a great time to do it. We've got a good 8 minutes left in this interview. The number is 622-9622. So I just gave the listeners a way to contact you directly. Is that an advantage for companies, like easy access? Because I'll tell you one of the things that turns me off. When I call anybody and I get one of those automated answering things, I hate those things. I don't know if that would give me an advantage or not to get rid of that.
Yes, actually a lot of our clients are touting the fact that you can get a real live person. And it's not just enough to get a live person. You want the live person within 3 rings, 5 rings, or something reasonable. And that is a competitive advantage if your competition is sending people to a phone tree. So that does rate high in a number of businesses, not always, but it's, you know, every business is different, but certainly that can be a competitive advantage in a lot of areas.
And you also talk about keeping your name out there, because sometimes people with their companies like to rest on their laurels. They think they don't need to advertise or do any kind of public service for anyone, that people are still going to gravitate toward them always.
Yes, that complacency can really hurt a business, that idea that we're already king of the mountain, you know, where they're pounding their chest on how good they are, while the competition is nipping at their heels. And so, you know, Warren Buffett has a quote that says, it's the responsibility of a CEO to build a moat around its company to keep competitors at bay. And if we're not doing that on a regular basis, identifying competitive advantages to build a moat, then the competition is going to be nipping at our heels. And I've seen countless number of businesses suddenly, if not go under, at least lose tons of market share because they were not looking at what's going on in their field. So you're right about that. You got to be shouting from the rooftops your existing competitive advantages to present customers as well as potential customers.
You are one of the well-known competitors that you, or two of the well-known competitors you mentioned in the book is Blockbuster and Netflix. Netflix seems to have won. What were they doing better?
Oh, well, Blockbuster was the buggy whip back then. I mean, they... You know, you had to go to the store to get the movie. Netflix, you don't have to do anything. Just there it is on your phone. So just Blockbuster, what I write about in the book was how slow they were to realize that they were yesterday's methodology. And there's, that's the kind of thing that you see on a regular basis.
There's always this war between businesses that have tangible products and non-tangible products. Like you can go to a clothing store and buy clothes, but that clothing store has to get the word out, so they technically have a non-tangible product when they advertise, whether on television or radio or in the newspapers. How do you keep those non-tangible entities afloat?
That's a very good question. There's a lot of, we do a lot of work with service businesses, and so what their customers look for is entirely different. It's not product oriented, it's service oriented. One example comes to mind. It's not a consumer business, but it's a very large national accounting firm that we worked with, and they have a niche there. They do auditing for banks. Well, turns out they have audited something like 90% of the top banks in America. Well, isn't that going to build confidence and remove risk if you talk about that to a prospect? And so those are the kinds of things we look for to be able to let the prospect know, yeah, this company's been there, done that, and they're the experts in that area more than their competition. And so those are the things. I mean, you know, my favorite story in the front of the first chapter of Creating Competitive Advantage is the story of JTech. They're the company that manufactured the restaurant pagers. You know, you go into Outback, they hand you this thing and let you know when your table's going to be ready. That was one of my first clients, and they made this thing for their own restaurant, and people would come in and say, "Wow, this is great! I have a restaurant. Where'd you buy these things?" And they said, "We didn't buy them. You know, we made them just for our restaurant." And then people started ordering them. They went out and got a big investor, set up a manufacturing plant, and started selling these things nationally. Well, along comes Motorola. Do you remember those stupid pagers we all used to wear?
The little papers?
So Motorola comes along and says, "We're the pager people. We're going to start competing with this little upstart JTech." And so they called me in and they said, "What are we going to do? The 800-pound gorilla is breathing down our neck." So we started working on this and playing around with the potential competitive advantage they might have. And we came up with one statement that kept the 800-pound gorilla out of their backyard. It was very simple. And it was this. We said, "You make sure every restaurant in North America hears this. Of the 50 major restaurant chains in North America, 100% of them are using our JTech pager."
Well, oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And it worked, huh?
Motorola never entered the market, and they ended up being able to sell that company for gigantic sums of money to a big point-of-sale company. So, yes.
I love that story. Now, talk about the competitors that don't seem to be necessarily... I'm sure that there's a figure that says Coke is selling more than Pepsi or vice versa, or McDonald's is doing more than Burger King or vice versa, but I think in the small item cases, maybe this is like a small price, it only costs a couple dollars for a burger. Is that why they both can exist and be at the top of the heap? Is because the consumer goes from one to the other anyway? They got to go back and forth?
They sell to a price-sensitive market as well as they're selling convenience. So to me, they're two different markets. People go there for convenience, quick. And some people go there for price. So, it depends on what they're trying to attract at the time. But I really have not done any studies of those of the fast food places to see. To me, that's just a battle of price and advertising. It's a battle of promotional dollars.
Well, everybody who is in business, and as I started to say, actually mentioned in the beginning, that we all, indirectly or directly, are the recipients of the fruits of the labor of those people who are able to sell things. If you are trying to sell something and or have a business of any sort, you might want a copy of Creating Competitive Advantage, and I have a copy. Call me if you want the copy that I have, and you can have it. The rest of us have to go buy it. We've got 45 seconds, Janie. Tell us how to get the book.
The book is available at Amazon or our website, smartadvantage.com. That's S-M-A-R-T, smartadvantage.com, or Amazon. And it's quick, easy read, and your answer before any business, anybody small, medium, or large can figure this out from the book. Exercises in there for every business to do to make sure they can get clearly identify competitive advantages they didn't know they had.
All right, excellent. Good advice. And again, the website is smartadvantage.com, correct?
Correct, yes.
All right. We do have somebody who wants the book, but let me take that call off the air. Janie, thank you so much for being on the air with us. We will move forward now. We've got news coming up. This is WOCA Ocala.
Janie, thank you so much for being on the air today. Really great stuff.
Okay, thank you, Robin. Appreciated it.
You're welcome, and you've got a wonderful publicist in Rich. He's awesome.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Jamie. Bye-bye.
Bye.